Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? You know what? We just need to take a moment and stand up after reading a long chapter like that. And let's give the biggest hand to Caroline for reading that chapter. She deserves it. Woo! Awesome job. if I'm allowed to say, kind of was just like, I'm interested to see where you're going with this. It's not my favorite. You can have a seat. Not my favorite chapter. I remember my father teaching me and reading this and talking to me about this growing up. And so I just thought, as we're talking about humility, that this would be a perfect place to go this week. We have been talking about the root system, if you will, to the fruit of the Spirit. And what are the fruit of the Spirit? Everyone loves the fruit of the Spirit. Everyone wants the fruit of the Spirit, right? Christian or not. Everyone in this world wants the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all good things. Those are awesome things. We want more of that, right? But how do we get more of that? Because sometimes those things don't automatically come to us. That's why we're talking about humility. And this is our third week on humility, talking about submission to God. This morning, that's what we're talking about, being submissive to God. And we've talked about the importance of how as we humble ourselves, the Lord promotes us. It's about less of us and all of Him. And it's also about putting good people around us to hear the voice of the Lord, having mentors in our life. That's what I touched on last week. Because it's great to have people in our lives. I just want to say too, 62 years. I should have you guys come up and we should interview you guys, have you guys talk. I'm sure you could teach us all a lot about marriage. Congratulations again on 62 years. That's awesome. Yeah, ups, that's what she's doing. There's a story there. That's right. See, we could learn that from that. So humility is the root that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Humility is the root. And again, this morning we're talking about submission to God. Humility is about preferring others and putting them first. And our success or our failure in our walk with God and with others truly is about being able to walk in humble submission. Now, when we humbly submit to God and His plan for our lives, we, if you will, instantaneously position ourselves for the greatness of God to work in our lives. And it echoes the prayer, if you will, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God wants His will to come to pass. What's His will? As it is in heaven. That's what He wants for us on earth. Now, I do just want to do a brief overview. We're going to talk about the story of Samuel as well. If you will, otherwise, it's easy to lose what's going on in that chapter, okay? So we're going to talk about 1 Samuel. I want to start with verse 15, verses just 2 to 3, and it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they opposed them as they came from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put them to death." And it talks about everything. Put them to death. Men, women, children, infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Okay, that's what was told. So Saul and his men have a tremendous victory. They did. They had a tremendous victory in this fight. But what did they do? They brought the king back alive. And in 1 Samuel 15, verse 9, it says, Saul and the army spared Agag, who was the king, and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs. Everything was good. These they were unwilling to destroy. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Isn't that interesting? Those things, they were unwilling to do completely. So here's the question for you this morning. Did Saul and his men humbly submit to God and follow in the plan of God? No, they didn't. And the challenge from the beginning of time, whether or not we will humble ourselves and trust in God's plan, is this exactly. Are we going to submit to God's plan? It's always been around. Now let's go back to Adam. It's the very first sin on planet Earth. When God told Adam that he could eat of every tree in the garden, right? We know this one. He could eat from every tree except for one. And then the story goes, so Adam and Eve are at the tree. Okay, let's pause here for a second. I find this very interesting. Where are they? Where's the vicinity of where they're standing? By the tree that they're not supposed to eat at. Okay? Now, I went through a period of time where anyone here love chocolate? Yeah. I mean, chocolate-covered almonds are my favorite, I have to say. I love Hershey's. I love M&M's. I love any kind of chocolate, okay? My parents are European. They have amazing chocolate. I love chocolate. And there was a time where I found myself, every time I was going into the grocery store, buying chocolate, okay? Now, what did I have to do to stop doing that? Because there was a time where I'm like, I am eating way too much chocolate. I need to take care of myself. I needed to skip that aisle. And it's hard to do because nowadays in grocery stores, it's in the checkout line, right? So what do you have to do? I had to find myself not standing there beside it. And you know what? The odd time, I would find myself just in front of them. Oh yeah, those M&Ms would be really good right now, you know? And to a point where, you know, I go, you walk by that aisle and you're like, okay, I'm not going to look to left or the right. I'm going to keep, where are the vegetables? Now in Genesis 3:6, it says, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and what? Pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. But it doesn't stop there. Man, we're not off the hook, so you know. She also gave some to her husband who was with her. And what did he do? He ate it. That's right. So they made a choice right at that moment. Their choice was who, it was more than just an apple. It was who am I going to submit to? And in a fraction of a moment, they both decided, who will I give my allegiance to? To whose authority will I humble myself to? And who will be my God? That's ultimately the choice that they were making. Over an apple. Now, Adam and Eve, they chose the apple over submitting to the authority of God. Now, people still do this today. They choose things over God today, don't they? There's other things. There's shiny things. They choose people over God. Now, before we go on, I just want to tell you a quick story about how a mentor of mine taught me. I was working at a church. It was a small teaching moment, if you will. I'd worked all day, and it was dinner time, and the other lead pastor of the church, I was brand new to ministry. My first full-time job in ministry. And the lead pastor went home, had dinner, came back for a Bible study that night. He came back to find me still working. And he said, "Oh, have you been home for dinner already?" And I said, "Oh, I haven't." And he's like, "Oh, are you going home after?" And I said, "Well, no, I'm going to pick up some youth, and because I was youth pastor, and we're going to do this and this." And he's like, "Okay." He's like, and he said, "You know what? I want you, you're going to," and he actually told me, he said, "You're going to cancel that meeting with those youth. You're going to go home. You're going to spend time with your wife. You're going to have dinner with your family." We had one son at the time, Josiah. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "You need to put God," okay, we all, as ministers, we put, or as even as people, we put God first above everything. And out of that, family comes next. We don't put our family above our relationship with God. Family comes next. And he stressed that. He was like, "We want you as a church to spend time with your family. Because out of a relationship with God, what will happen? I'll be empowered and strengthened to lead my family." And he even said, "I want you to go on once a month, at least date nights." He was doing once a week date nights at that time. He didn't have kids. All of his kids were out of the house. But he mentored that for me. And then he said, "And then comes your ministry. The ministry that God calls you to." He said, "Want to know why? Because out of a healthy family relationship, what will happen?" In that order, God first, family next, you'll have a healthy ministry. If you are happy in your home, you'll be more than encouraged to do great ministry. He said, "If you lose this, you lose this." And he said, "A lot of people take this, a lot of pastors take this, and they put this up with submission to God." But it was nice, it was nice to see that separation. God first. And difference of ministry, because I know pastors can do that. But people can too. You put your job, your other things, other relationships above God and above your family. It's important that we keep our priority right and in order. Amen? It was such a great teaching moment that I will never forget. I can't imagine what the trouble that that wisdom saved me from. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, there have been busy times, and my wife has given me grace when there's conferences and lots of busyness, of course, but there's communication there. And I'm thankful to work with churches that understand the busyness or even give me time to be able to spend with the importance of family. Now, I have a number of points about the submission of God that we're going to cover this morning, okay? The first one is sin is the failure to humbly submit to God's authority and plan. Sin is the failure to humbly submit to God's authority and plan. Lawlessness, 1 John 3:4 says, "Everyone who sins breaks the law." In fact, sin is lawlessness. So lawlessness is not submitting to God's authorities and laws. Or in other words, it's saying, "Guess what? My way is better." And we've all done that. So I'm not saying judgment, but this is an important thing for us to talk about. Why do we submit to God's laws first? Above everything? Because we're citizens of heaven first. When we are born into the family of God, we submit to God first, above all things. Right? We're citizens of heaven first. Now, our covenant walk and relationship with God, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. And aren't we thankful for grace that comes and covers our lives when we miss it? It's awesome. Instead, we're called to follow the Holy Spirit's leading on the inside of us. By the grace of God, in this new covenant, when we walk in a relationship with God. So in other words, it's not a one-time surrender to God, but a continual surrender, yielding, daily yielding in humbleness of heart to the Lord. Someone might say, oh, well, I did that. When in 2002, I accepted Jesus into my heart and I got saved and I did that. But it's not just that, right? And that's fantastic. I'm not demeaning that. That's one of the greatest miracles of us as a Christian in the Christian life. But we do it every day. We submit. We need to learn to submit to the Lord each and every day. And as we learn to submit to the authority of God in our lives, he will lead us into the promised land. Galatians 5, verses 16 and 18 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Isn't that awesome? James 4, 13 to 16 says this. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. And it goes on to say, all such boasting is evil. And it reminds me of James 4:17 that says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Those are powerful scriptures after reading 1 Samuel 15, right? We need to be led by the Lord in our comings and goings. And today, more than ever. And we can be. We have the Spirit of God. Our spirits are reborn. We're made spirit, soul, and body. Our spirits are made new in the birth of Christ. And we can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And that allows us a connection with God for our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And as we're led that way, our body follows, right? I once read, I heard a story, I knew a pastor who told the story about, and I'll give you the short version of it. There was a woman that was talking to him, and she said, I was going over to a friend's house, and I opened Psalm 91. You know Psalm 91? It's the Psalm of Protection. It's a fantastic chapter, one of my favorites. When I was in missions for 2 years, my mom said, please read this every day if you can. Then I know the Lord will bring you back to me. So I read it. I love it. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, Psalm 91. And this woman read Psalm 91. And then as she went to her friends, she got mugged. And she got robbed. And they stole from her. And she was talking to this pastor afterwards. And he's just like, and she's like, see, the word of God didn't work. By the Bible, it's wrong. And she was in this struggle. And he's like, okay, please tell me what went on. And here she told him that she was going to leave for her friend's house. She got in the car to go to wherever. She had to drive somewhere and then walk a little bit. And then while she was in the car, she's like, I'm not supposed to go. Something came over her, and she went back in the house. And she's like, no, I want to go to my friends. But there was still something inside of her saying, don't go. So what'd she do? She's like, oh, I'm just going to read Psalm 91, and I'm just going to go. And what happened? She went and got, And again, I don't want to read in this story theologically too much, but I want to say, God can protect us. She was led. The Holy Spirit was trying to communicate with her to the point where she got in the car, went out. God was telling her not to go, and she knew that. Now, may I say, we've all been in the situation. And that's all a part of our relationship and walk with the Lord. Hearing his voice, learning to hear even in the small things, in our comings and goings. And I want to encourage you that you can do this. You can hear from the Lord. And it's not a weird thing. It doesn't have to be a weird thing at all. Simple decision. That the Lord can lead us. We need to hear from the Lord. We need to believe. We hear primarily through the Word of God. The Word of God, this is why it's so important to read the Word of God. It's the number one way the Lord will speak to us is through Scripture. It's like, oh, we're doing something. Oh, I just read the Scripture that I shouldn't live this way, or I should treat this person some way. And we get a red light in our minds and we go, oh, I need to act differently. That is humbling ourselves. That's the process of humbling ourselves to the Word of God. And when we do that, it's an awesome, awesome strategy, or if you will. Which brings us to point number two. So about submission to God. God establishes boundaries to liberate us and not constrain us. God establishes boundaries. Boundaries are good for us. God's word does not limit or hinder or hurt us. His word keeps the world, if you will, from hurting me. Many times we think it's just God trying to get us to sin less. If anything, it's usually for our own protection, for our own good. What is a game of soccer when we take away the rules, right? It's chaos and confusion. No one knows the boundaries. Is it in? Is it out? Are you allowed to use your hands? Are you allowed to run with it? Are you, you know, where am I shooting for? Where am I even shooting the ball? The rules of soccer or any game make the game fun, right? And may I say, even more so with driving. That's right. Take away the rules and it would be chaos. Following the Lord is the Lord trying to get us to enjoy our lives. Humility produces what? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, and on. We all want those things, right? And I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. The real power of life is not the freedom to choose, but making choices that give you freedom. God never changes. God's love is constant. If anything, we're the one that wavers, not God. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. The closer we walk with him, the greater the blessings of God can flow through us. James 4, 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. So we resist the devil. And what does the devil do? He will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's go back to Saul in 1 Samuel 15. God regrets that he made Saul king. In verse 10, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. The prophet Saul goes to confront King Saul. And here is Saul's response. In verse 15, it says, Saul answered, the soldiers, not me, the soldiers, brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Again, verse 9 says, Saul and the army spared the best of the sheep. Saul and the army, right? Now, Saul was saying they, as in the soldiers did it. What is he doing? He's shifting blame to his men. And he's lying to cover his own sin. And lying to the Lord. The Lord knows everything, right? In verse 17, it says, Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, in other words, you were humble, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. In other words, God promoted him because of his humbleness. And it goes on to say, he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Again, they're trying to look all innocent, saying, all we did was take some sheep and cattle. Or in other words, that doesn't look like sin. And this brings us to the next thing I want to say about submission. A good thing doesn't mean necessarily that it's a God thing. In verse 20, it says, but I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agar, their king. Now, this, it's so common today. People love each other and say, God brought us together. But they get into sin, they don't listen to God. Or they think that grace will just cover what they don't feel like submitting to God. Ooh, am I going too deep? Is this okay? And I believe that's in one-on-one relationships, but I believe it's corporately as well. And this brings us to the next thing, is the deception. Partial obedience is good enough. Did he obey the specific directions and instructions given to him by the Lord? No. Here again, there are the instructions. In 2 and 3, this is what the Lord said, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came to Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. And he even talks about the cattle and the sheep and the camels and the donkeys. So what did Saul do? At the end of the day, Saul did 95% of what God told him to do. Now, 95%, that's pretty good, right? If my kids get 95% on a test, that's pretty good. I'm happy. But then Saul says, the soldiers took the sheep and cattle for the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord at Gilgal. Again, then pride shifts the focus to the sin of comparison. I'm not as bad as the soldiers. They did it. And this takes us to number 5. We tend to justify our actions by comparing to others versus obedience to Christ, don't we? Saul attempts to, if you will, spiritualize it. Oh, we did this in order to sacrifice to God. But God knows their original intent, which was greed and pride. And let's look at Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6 talks about 7 sins that God hates. Verses 16 and 19, it says, there are 6 sins that the Lord hates. 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. How many times do we attempt to spiritualize and justify our disobedience and rebellion? But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better to sacrifice, or to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of deviation and arrogance, again, pride, like the evil of idolatry, worshiping other idols. Which brings me to the last thing I want to say about submission, which is the submission of our heart, to God is more important than religious practices. In the Message translation, it reads this way: do you think all God wants are sacrifices, empty rituals just for show? He wants you to listen to him. Plain listening is the thing, not staging a lavish religious production. Not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around in the occult. Getting self-important around God is far worse than making deals with your dead ancestors. Because you said no to God's command, he says no to your kingship. We're getting deep looking at our own character this morning. The ERV version, which is, I didn't know actually, until I read this myself, is the easy read version. It says, being stubborn and doing what you want is like the sin of worshiping idols. And 23b says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have violated the command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Wow. Saul was saying, I chose to defy your authority and live by my own wisdom, my own pride, and I submitted to the crowd versus to submitting to you, God. Again, the sin of Adam was following the ways of someone around him instead of following what he knew God called him to do. And remember what we've already covered in 1 John 3:4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. And in verse 25 and 26, Saul says this, now I beg of you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. Now, in closing, I want to say this. There is a myth today. This is what we're talking about. There's a myth today in the body of Christ that all you have to do is kind of try to be a Christian. And that grace will cover your, if you will, your half-baked attempts to follow God. I actually knew someone that used to talk this way. They literally, they said, I do what I want and I ask for forgiveness later. But that's not how it works. That's not what grace is meant to cover. Paul the Apostle said this about grace, when I was weak, then I am strong. God's grace empowers us to win over sin in our everyday decisions. So it's not about willpower over sin. It's not about willpower over sin. It's about will submission. Those are two different things. You want to beat temptation? Submit your will. That's right. It starts with our humility. Submitting to God. When you submit your will to the will of God the Father, you'll find yourselves empowered to win the battle over every temptation. And God is not asking you to do it alone. He's placed His Holy Spirit on the inside of you to help you, to assist you, to empower you, to cause you to be an overcomer in this life. Amen? God is a jealous God. He wants all of our heart, not most of it. Now, in a moment, Caroline is going to come and lead us in communion. But first, I have a question. And then I want us to declare something. We're going to declare something. Because I'm not just going to leave you there, okay? Aren't you thankful for the grace of God, the dispensation that we live in, the dispensation of grace, that Jesus paid for everything. He died for our sins, that we can accept him and walk in redemption. We can walk out of here 100%. Knowing that God is for us and with us and strengthening us. Why? Because he is for us. But the question I have for you is this: am I fully obeying and doing what I know God wants me to do? The blood of Jesus washes and empowers us. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? Let's stand, and I want to read this declaration together. Next week, I'm going to be talking about submitting to others. I think that's where we're going to go next week. But most important, it's important to submit to God, right? So let this be our testimony. Let's say this from the heart. Let's say it together. Today, I surrender my will to you, God. I declare the lordship of Jesus Christ over my life. I submit my will, my desires, my wants to you, God. I choose to follow your plan for my life today. Lead me, guide me, and teach me by your Holy Spirit who lives in me. I renounce temptation and sin before it ever approaches me. I reject the ways of this world and I choose to submit to God and resist the devil. I am God's child. His grace empowers me to live like him. I will talk, walk, act, give, and respond like he would because his nature abides in me and I'm in him. I declare Jesus is Lord of my life today. And let us all say, amen. As Caroline... Caroline...